an interesting collection of texts for this Sunday. They're always interesting. I don't know why I say that. There are so few dull parts of the Bible. And the lectionary carefully skips over them, or at least I haven't encountered any. And as I was thinking of these texts, what came back to me over and over again wasn't so much the story of Paul going to Damascus and being knocked off his horse and having his life completely changed. It wasn't even the vision that John had of the end of things in Revelation. But it was the number three. And it's our gospel lesson. And our gospel lesson is especially poignant when we remember that prior to Christ's crucifixion, pretty much the last thing he said to Peter was, "Before tomorrow morning, you're going to deny me three times." The number three is a significant number for all kinds of reasons. It shows up often in Scripture. Trinity is made up of three. We see all kinds of threes in various places, and this is another one. And Peter did deny Jesus three times. And I'm not here to beat up on Peter. I don't know what I would have done. I'm by no means perfect in any way, shape, or form. So I don't know what I would have, what my response would have been if I was in Peter's situation. But after the resurrection, we have this story where Peter and some of the other disciples are, in a sense, sitting around. They don't really know what to do. So Peter says, "I'm going to go fishing." Because that's what Peter was. He was a fisher. That's what he did for a living. That's probably what he started doing. He was probably out with his dad on the boat before it was safe for him to be there, according to our standards at least. But he'd probably been on the water almost as much as he'd been on the ground when he was awake. And so when things went sideways, he went back to what he understood. He said, "I'm going fishing." Several of the disciples said, "Well, we'll come with you." Because they also came from that kind of a background, whether they're actually fishers or not, living on the Sea of Galilee, living that close to the water, everybody knew what to do on a boat and knew how to help someone who was fishing. There was certainly nothing unusual about that. But they came along. And they got nothing all night. Apparently fishing at night is a thing they did, and they got nothing. It's not unheard of. I know all kinds of people who have gone fishing for days and days and haven't caught anything. And they're only looking for one fish, let alone a net full. And I often think, what would it have been like if you were on that boat when somebody off in the distance who you can't recognize, you have no idea who this person is, a miscellaneous person yells out, "Have you caught any fish?" I'm not a fishing person, but I've been around them. I've occasionally fished. The worst part of fishing for me is catching a fish. I like being on the water and just waving my arm every once in a while. But for people who actually fish, not catching any fish is annoying to them. And to a professional fisherman, I wonder what went through their head when this stranger yells out, "Hey, you got any fish?" And they have to say, "No, we haven't." So he says, "Well, throw your net on the other side. Throw it at the right side." And I can just imagine them looking at each other with this sort of, "Who is this? Do you think we only throw the... We've been fishing all night. Do you think fish have always been hiding on the other side of the boat and switching to the other side like some strange cartoon?" They say, "Okay, fine." They throw the net out the right side, and it's so filled with fish, they can't pull it into the boat without breaking the net. And that's when John, because that's who the disciple Jesus loved is, he doesn't name himself very often, goes, "Wait a second. That's the Lord." Recognized the voice, saw the miraculous catch of fish, whatever it might have been. Something said it. And Peter, being Peter, put his clothes back on because being in a, you know, working hard, I can see he's, you know, sort of down to his shorts or whatever it was. So he put his tunic back on and just jumps out of the boat to go see who it is, because that's the kind of person Peter was. He was impulsive, I suppose you could say, but I would say enthusiastic more than anything else. He was one of those oversized personalities who just does what he thinks needs to be done. So he jumped into the water, headed to the shore. It wasn't very far away. The others stayed in the boat, and they pulled the net to the shore because they couldn't get into the boat without tearing it. So I'm assuming it's easier to do it on the shore. I mean, I don't catch fish with a rod. What do I know about a net full of fish? But obviously that worked better. And so they got there, and they come out, and they find breakfast waiting for them. There's some fish cooking over a charcoal fire and some bread. And Jesus says, bring some of the fish you just caught. So they went, dragged the net onto the shore. There's 153 large fish without tearing the net, which is obviously unusual. And Jesus says, now come and have some breakfast. And this I find interesting. None of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. And I wonder if they didn't ask who they were was because they were a little bashful, perhaps. Perhaps a little in awe. All kinds of reasons could have gone into that, but they didn't. And so they just ate breakfast. They were served again a meal by Jesus. So this is the third time that Jesus had appeared to the disciples since he'd been raised from the dead. So you can see why they were still a little shocked. I mean, even if they knew before it was going to happen, and they did, they'd been told that, they still didn't expect people to come back from the dead, because that's just normal. We don't expect that. They ate breakfast. And then Jesus asked Simon Peter an interesting question. He said, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And that's an interesting construction in Greek, because we don't really know what the these is. We think it's the other disciples, but it could be everything. Greek is a very tricky language at times, as is English. Ask anyone who's had to learn it. So we're not entirely sure, but whatever it is, we have Jesus saying, do you love me more than these? And Peter doesn't say, yes, I love you more than these. Peter says, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Then feed my lambs. And then Jesus asks again, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Then take care of my sheep. Remember that Jesus has used the language of being the shepherd often, and God as shepherd is all through the Old Testament. Most obviously in Psalm 23, but in other places, God refers to God's self as the shepherd caring for the sheep of Israel. So Peter and we know that we're not talking about four-legged woolly things, but people. And a third time, Jesus says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said, then feed my sheep. The interesting thing about the three is it's the reverse of what Jesus did the night before the crucifixion, or what Peter did the night before the crucifixion. When Peter was asked if he knew Jesus, he said no three times, and even called curses down upon himself if he was lying, going to that level to say, no, I have nothing to do with this person. It's not a coincidence that Jesus asked Peter the three times. Because in a sense, as I said, it reverses the three denials with the three affirmations. Peter is asked three times, do you love me? Because that was the issue. And every time he says, yes, I do. And Jesus says, as a response to that, what I want you to do because you love me isn't to do anything that we haven't talked about before. I want you to take care of my sheep, to feed my sheep, the metaphor of caring for those who have called Jesus their Lord. It restores Peter fully. And I wonder often about characters in Scripture and what they might think and what they might have done or do. But I wonder how often in the rest of his life Peter went back and was tempted to think that he had been a terrible person when he had denied Christ and then remembered this scene on the side of the lake where three times Jesus said, I want you to take care of my sheep. At that point, I don't think Peter was really aware. Maybe he knew intellectually, but he didn't really know in his deepest being that Jesus was going to leave. But I wonder how much that carried him through those difficult days. And he knew they were going to be difficult, because after that, Jesus says, I tell you the truth, when you were young, you could do what you wanted. But when you're old, it won't be like that. It's a foretelling word of prophecy, letting Peter know that he's not going to die of old age, that something is going to happen. And then Jesus says, follow me. These three times, the repetition of do you love me is not that we need to hear that three times. It's a reminder that there's nothing we can do that Jesus is not interested in redeeming and bringing us back from. Off the top of my head, there aren't a lot of things that would be harder to live with than denying you know someone you love for your own safety. People have done it all through the centuries. No one has ever said it was easy. It was hard for Peter. I'm sure it changed him on the inside and sort of ate away at him until now, when Jesus says, no, no, I'm choosing you to feed my sheep. The charge is extended to the rest of the apostles and eventually to us also. But at that point, the center of Jesus' attention is Peter, the one who said, I don't even know the man. To be entrusted with the feeding of God's sheep, God's people, the human beings that God created with love and said were very good at the very beginning. Peter is being entrusted with taking that message to them. And so being asked three times is a lot, but it's not too many when it accomplishes something as extraordinary as this. Because what it does is we see Peter going from somebody who, when he doesn't know what to do, goes and fishes, into someone who does become the rock upon which Christ's church is built. An apostle, an evangelist, a disciple, all of those words we use became fully realized in Peter after this encounter. Read along further into when you get into the book of Acts, and we see Peter accomplishing miraculous things through the name of Jesus. This changed Peter. And it was changed not because Jesus touched him with something or there was some kind of weird magic involved, which is what some people sometimes think are not magic. They don't call it magic, but that's what it comes down to. No. This came in response to Peter's response to Jesus. Yes, I love you. Jesus asks us every once in a while, in one way or another, do you love me? Not because not because Jesus doesn't know. Not because God doesn't know. Not because God is going to surprise us or be surprised by what we do. But because when we answer that question, it changes us. It's my anniversary today. 34 years ago on a beautiful May weekend, I got married. There have been some tough times in there. That's what happens. Lost a baby. We've lost other people. We were penniless students. We were all of the things that you are when you get married. What kept us going? Well, there were lots of things. We loved each other. That was helpful. Never stopped that. But when we said in front of people, in a church much like this one, and we said to each other, we're going to love, I said to Heather, I'm going to love you forever until I'm dead. Until we're parted by death, I'm going to love you. And in some of those hard times, knowing I said that, was a useful thing. So when Jesus comes and asks us, do you love me? It's a lot like when your partner says, for whatever reason, do you love me? And the answer is always yes. And it's not that they don't know that. It's that they need reassurance. And more importantly, you might. So if you hear Jesus asking if you love Jesus, don't take it badly. Don't think that God is somehow wondering if you changed your mind. It's a reminder. Think of it as a micro renewal of your vows, something that Hadley and I have done a couple of times. Just to remind ourselves, and this is Jesus reminding Peter that yes, Peter did love Jesus. And that coming out of that was the charge that he gave to him coming down to us to feed the sheep, to feed the human beings in our circle, the people we know in and out of the church, the people in our community, because God loves them all and wants to be in the same relationship with them, that relationship through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And he wants us to do that. And that's how we feed his sheep. And that's one of the ways that we show that we love him. Amen.